Matthew's Gospel and chapter 5. It's headed Salt and Light. This is Jesus speaking. This is part of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus spoke to disciples of all shade and colour, all genders, all races, those who gathered before him to listen. There were his disciples, but there were others clearly who were there as well. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But if anyone who says, you fool, you will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you only greet your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the point at which we should all throw our hands up and say, I can't do it. In all honesty. The challenge to follow Jesus is deeper and more profound than any challenge we will face anywhere else in our lives. Now, we've been following this theme of live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit of God. Be guided by the Spirit of God. And of course, that phrase comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, where he said, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul goes on, live by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, be inspired by the Spirit, and so on. And eventually, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the challenge for us and the encouragement for us is to work out, what does it mean to live by the Spirit? What does it mean to have the Spirit of God living within us and guiding and directing and inspiring and encouraging us every step of every day? And we've been following this theme for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and we're going to be following it for a good few more weeks as well. And what I've sought to do in the last few weeks is go, as it were, back to the beginning and say, okay, if we're to live by the Spirit of God, the first thing we must ask is, what is God like? Because if we live by the Spirit, we will reflect what God is like. So what is God like? And we have said, week one, we said, God is love. Not so much that God does love, he is love. In his essence, God is love. That love is seen in what he does. God acts in love. Time and time again, through the Bible, as you read, we discover that God is love. Time and time again, through the Bible, we discover God, when he acts in love. Last week, we reflected that when God relates to people, he does so in love. And for God, it is something that is unavoidable. He has to love because he is love. He cannot do anything other than love because he is love. And in a sense, we could stop there and say, okay, what does it mean to live by the Spirit? If we love, we are living by the Spirit. If we love, we are living by the Spirit. And that is why the Apostle Paul, as I mentioned a moment ago, could say the fruit of the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit, who are led by the Spirit, you know, the fruit that emerges in their life, in their character, is love, firstly. It is love. Today, we're going to reflect just for a few minutes on God's law of love. And I tackle this, I bring this to our attention because I recognize that for many of us, we get stuck, and I guess I sometimes get stuck, on the laws of God. If you've ever taken the challenge to read the Bible from cover to cover, have anybody ever done that? Have you ever started at the beginning? And it doesn't take long before you get stuck, does it? And we get stuck because, well, I don't know what your reasons are for getting stuck, but I know it gets tough. It's tough going because there's laws, and the laws come across as do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. And it just goes on and on and on, and we get a bit stuck with that. I recognize as well that sometimes when we go to the Bible for advice, for guidance, and when we say, how should I respond to a particular situation? What should I do in this instance? How about the relationship that I see? Is it a good relationship or a bad one? What should my perspective be? So often what we can be drawn to is what we perceive as the clear-cut, black and white answers. And that often we see in the law. Do this, do that, don't do that, don't do that. And yet if God is love, if God acts in love, if God always relates in love, how do we put these two things together? How do we bring together law that has come from God and love that is God? So we're going to have a reflection on this for a few minutes today. But we begin at the beginning. God is love. Everything God is, everything God does, everything God commands, what comes? Hey, is love. Why? Because God is love. So everything he is, everything he does, everything he commands is love. Love is where we begin, and this is where we end. The Apostle Paul said three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these, the one that will last forever and ever and ever and ever, is love. Because faith will come to an end. You say, well, when will faith come to an end? Well, if I'm trusting, if I'm believing for something, if I'm having faith, when I see that thing happen, I don't need to have faith anymore because I see it. If I'm hoping for an outcome, I will hope until it happens. And then I don't need hope anymore. But love will last forever and ever and ever. Love is where we begin, and love is where we end. So God is love, and I can't really stress that too much, that God is love. Whatever picture we have in our minds of what God is like, God is love. But where does God's law fit in? For example, the Ten Commandments. Let's open our Bibles if you've got them there. Let's go to Exodus and chapter 20. Exodus and chapter 20, this is on page 77. On page 77, the Ten Commandments are recorded twice in the Bible, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And we have Exodus chapter 20, Ten Commandments. God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then the first command, there, top of the page: you shall have no other gods before me. And then you shall not make for yourself an idol. And then there, verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And then remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Verse 12, honor your father and mother. Verse 13, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Or it goes on to say, your neighbor's wife, his manservant, maidservant, ox, donkey, anything that belongs to your neighbor. And we have there what we know as the Ten Commandments. And there are some churches you can go into and they will be pasted on the wall. The Ten Commandments. Live by these commandments. And of course, that's what they are. They are directions for living. When God gave the Ten Commandments, he was directing his people and saying to them, look, in a short while, when we read it in Exodus 20, it's actually 40 years hence before they'll actually have to put this into action in their promised land. But he's giving them directions and saying, when you live in this land that I'm going to give you, live by these directives. Live in this way. You'll notice that the first half of the Ten Commandments are all directed towards God. The second half towards yourself or your neighbor. But this is how you're to live. They are good directives for how you should live. And I guess as the people live obeying the Ten Commandments, then other nations will see the wisdom of living according to those laws. They will see how the people please God. But sometimes it does feel a bit like just do this and do that. Sometimes law can become very dry and perhaps even harsh. Where does God's law fit? Go back to the beginning. God is love. The primary call on our lives is to love. And so we can say, even before the law and the commandments, there is love. Love is the beginning. Love is the end. Love is that which will last forever, because God is love. Moreover, we can say that love is first. Love is right at the beginning. So where does God's law fit? What is God's law about? And I think it's simply this, that law follows. They are expressions of love. Why did God say, do not steal? Because it is loving not to steal. Why did God say, do not commit adultery? Because it is loving not to commit adultery. Why did God say, do not covet? Because it is loving both to yourself and to your neighbor not to covet. Why did God say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Because it is loving. Why did God say, keep the Sabbath? Because it is loving. It is as if God's saying, look, the number one commandment is love. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do this and you will live. But if you want to know in specifics what you should do, well, love God. Don't misuse his name. Keep the Sabbath. Don't steal. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Those are the specifics of how love will work out in your community. That's what it will look like in your community. But these are not dry things. They're simply expressions of love. So God gives practical expressions of love to his people. So when the questions come along, what should we do in this circumstance or that circumstance? The real question is, how can I be loving in this circumstance, in that relationship? And God has given some expressions of what love looks like. Because love is first, love is greatest, law follows love. This is what love looks like. So if we're to be those who live by the Spirit, and you will know, I'm sure, that in the Bible, there is sometimes, it feels like there is this tension between law and the Spirit. Those who live by the law, that do this, do that, and so on. And those who live, apparently, by the freedom of the Spirit. I don't think there needs to be this clash. As long as we understand that the laws are simply practical expressions of love. Now, how about Jesus? Always good to come to Jesus. I read from the Gospels. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said. That was quite a long reading. If you flick back to where we were in Matthew's Gospel, page 969. In verse 21, it said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. Anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. That seems pretty clear, doesn't it? If we then look across to verse 27, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. Again, it sounds very clear. Verse 31, it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. Verse 33, again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you've made to the Lord. Verse 38, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So Jesus reminds the people of the law that was given long ago as an expression of love. And what they have done is that they have held to the law and said, the law is most important. The law is first. How must I live? Well, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't divorce your wife. Don't make an oath. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Very clear, black and white. That's how many of us, we like to live. We like the certainty of the law. And so Jesus says, this is the black and white. This is what you've held to for much of your lives. You have heard that it was said. But then there's this wonderful phrase afterwards. You have heard it said, but I tell you. What is Jesus going to say? You've heard it said, don't murder. Well, that's good. Don't murder. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. That's good. But I tell you, what does Jesus tell them? What does Jesus tell them? Sometimes we get stuck with God's law. And what does Jesus tell them? It's a great question. You've heard it said. Law, it's good. But I tell you, what Jesus is doing, he's saying this is what love looks like. All you've done is kept the letter of the law. Don't murder. And Jesus says, do you know what? Love is first. Yes, don't murder. But I tell you, love says, anyone who's angry with his brother, that's unloving. Anyone who shows contempt for his brother, that's not loving. Anyone who says, you fool, that's not loving. And Jesus says, yes, the law, but love is first. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. Yes, that's right. But what does love look like? Jesus says the law is good, but I tell you, if you look at a woman lustfully, that is not love. So Jesus says the law is good, but I tell you, go back to the beginning. God is love. He doesn't rubbish the law. He says, yeah, it's good, but before the law, there is love. Jesus said, anyone who divorces his wife, you know, you've heard that said. You can just give them a certificate of divorce and you're free. But Jesus says, no, is that really the loving thing to do? Except in cases of marital unfaithfulnesses. Do not break your oath. But Jesus says, is that the loving thing? He says, don't make an oath at all. Say yes and say no. That is love, Jesus says. You've heard it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. How clear is that? And we know, don't we, that many people live according to that. And they say, well, the Bible says it. Even Jesus says it. And he does say it. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But Jesus is saying, what does love look like? What does it mean to live by the Spirit of God, the God who is love? What does it look like? Don't resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, give him your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2. Give to the one who asks you. Somebody wants to borrow from you, don't turn away. Jesus says, that's what love looks like. Now, I know the law. I know the law. I know the black and white. I know what clear-cut boundaries are. But love doesn't have boundaries. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Yes, I know that's what it says. But love says, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. And so if we're to be those who live by the Spirit, it's not that we ignore the law, because the law is great to guide us and direct us, but we almost must step, as it were, back before the law and say that love is first. Love is greatest because God is love.